Father, as always, I thank you. I thank you, Lord, for your word that always brings light into our hearts. So let that light shine this morning, giving us revelation knowledge and understanding in Jesus' name. Amen. That it might be fulfilled. Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 12. I'm going to get through this quickly this morning, I pray. Jeremiah 1:12, the Lord will always watch over his word. Why are we doing this room today? Because the Lord promised that this year will be the year that we emerge into so many different spheres. Physically, spiritually, materially, in every which way. And in order for his promises to be fulfilled, there are some things that God will do at times. The word of the Lord said unto Jeremiah, I said, you know, thou hast well seen, for I will hasten my word to perform it. Jeremiah 1 and 12. Hasten my word to perform it. Now, what does that mean? What does it mean to hasten? Well, I mean, quicken. You know, it will quicken it. It will bring it to pass. Whatever delays are on its way that's slowing it down, he will remove those things out of the way, you know, to make sure it comes to pass. But there's a specific aspect I want to share with us today. You know, there are many places in the Bible that you might find the phrase that it might be fulfilled, especially in the life of Jesus in the Gospels. You know, when he will do certain things, the Bible will say, or when certain things will happen around him, even from birth, the Bible will say that he might be fulfilled, and so on and so forth. Yeah, that's not what I'm talking about today. You can read in Matthew 1:22, the things that happen around Jesus, say, well, that he might be fulfilled. You know, some of the scriptures, you can read in Matthew 8, verses 16 to 17, it talks about, you know, heal all the people, that he might be fulfilled, and on and on and on. But that's not what I'm talking about today. I'm talking today about that the word of promise which the Lord gave might be fulfilled in your life. There are certain things that God will trigger into action. So that's the lesson and that's the perspective that we are bringing today. You know, the time of the promise, we talked about that before. When God promised something, he watches over it carefully. The word always sustains itself. Stephen, when he was preaching in Acts chapter 7 and verse 17 says, but when the time of promise drew near, God began to do certain things, you know. And so that is the case that we want to look at today. When, and in order for something else that God wants to do to happen, he will trigger certain things. Now, everything always starts with an unction from God. In the realm of the Spirit of God, in God's domain, nothing moves unless there's an unction from him and his Spirit moves first. We see that even in the beginning, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, and then he began to do some things. So when there is an unction from the Lord, you know, like, you know, we're praying for revival and stuff, you know, everybody, you know, you say, well, we want revival, we want to see the power of God again. Well, you can be praying for many years, and we should be praying, but one day God says it is time. And when he says it is time, then he begins to tell the people to pray even more. In the past, maybe they were just praying casually and kind of wishful thinking about it. But then, when God says it is time, they began to pray. They begin to seek the Lord more. There begin to be an hunger and a thirsting in the heart of the people. You know, they don't want to leave the presence of God anymore. Now, when is it that we need revival? Let me digress a little bit. Here are some reasons when we need revival. Personal revival as well as corporate revival. Let's talk about personal revival first. You know, when you find yourself drifting away from the character of Christ, you need a revival. You know, when you find yourself talking about things that you don't need to talk about, or talking about people that it's not your concern to talk about, when you find yourself the root of bitterness, when you find offense, you know, I mean, you find that you take offense at every little thing, you know, then you really need revival. When you go into the service, worship, house of worship with other believers, and after 30 minutes, it feels like you've been there for 3 hours, then you really need revival. You know, because when the presence of God, or you can't recognize the presence of God, or the presence of God makes you uncomfortable, and you don't want to stay there, and the short service looks very long, then we need revival. We really need revival. And for the church, when the church becomes powerless, you know, that we really need revival. When the church is no longer praying together, and when I'm talking about local church now, the body of Christ all over the world comprises of local churches every here and there. But for each local church, when that congregation is no longer praying together, then we really need revival. And revival is not, I'm not talking about, you know, a 3-day meeting. I would say it's revival. Well, that's the one that we plan. But I'm talking about a real revival that comes from God, in which he sends his fire into the souls of the people. It comes by God saying, it is time. And he stirs up the spirit of some people, and they begin to seek the Lord. You know, we can't. I mean, God is doing some things through this app and these virtual rooms and so forth. I mean, it's great, but I guarantee you, it's going to take in-person gathering in your local assemblies, in your communities. It may be a house fellowship, it may be a church, it may be a whatever. But it's the pattern that we've seen in the Bible, and also, you know, throughout our days, has been when people, local gatherings. We're not dismissing this. This is all a part of it. But don't forsake the assembly of yourselves in person on the ground. So important. On the day of Pentecost, or before that, they gathered together there, and they tarried. They waited together physically in that room. And there was a shaking that came. And we must see that revivals that we're seeing across the country, it's happening like that. You know, so, but I want to talk more today about not only revival that God has promised, you know, but also the things that he has promised for each of us in our individual lives. And I want to talk about the how God moves in order for things to come to pass that he already spoke. Now, let's look at some examples in the Bible. One that comes readily to mind is Ezra chapter 1 and verse 1. In this place, it's not about Ezra himself. You know, it's about, you know, King Cyrus. And the Lord, in other, there were certain things that the Lord spoke before about, you know, through Isaiah. In Isaiah, before I read Ezra 1, let me first of all read Isaiah. Towards the end of Isaiah chapter 44, the Lord began to speak about this man that was coming. His name would be, Cyrus. And he said, thus saith of Cyrus, the last verse in Isaiah 44, he is my shepherd, and he shall perform all my pleasure, even saying to Jerusalem, thou shalt be built, and to the temple thy foundation shall be laid. So the Lord prophesied this even before Cyrus came. And so, you know, in order for that word that the Lord spake concerning Cyrus, even before he was born, and, you know, and before he actually came into power, you know, you'll see that the Lord spoke many things about Cyrus, not just in that chapter 44 of Isaiah, which is really part of chapter 45. They split the chapter slightly differently. You can read chapter 45, verse 1, which is a continuation from the last verse of chapter 44. And he said, thus saith the Lord to his anointed, to Cyrus, whose right hand I have holding, to subdue nations before him, and I will loose the loins of kings, to open before him the two-leaved gates and gates that shall not be shut. And he says a lot of things. I will go before thee, make the crooked places straight. I was talking to Cyrus. We quote these scriptures, which works for us as well. And I will break in pieces the gates of brass and cut in sunder the bars of iron. I will give you the treasures of darkness, hidden riches of secret places, that thou mayest know that I, the Lord, which called you by your name, I am the God of Israel. And even for Jacob, my servant's sake, and my Israel, my elect, I have called thee by your name, and I have surnamed thee, even though thou hast not known me. This Cyrus man didn't even know the Lord. But the Lord said, he is my servant. You know, think about that for a minute. You know, I am the Lord and there is none else, you know, and so forth. The Lord began to speak some things because he is the servant of the Lord, because the Lord will choose him to do God's pleasure, to do something, whether he knows it or not, whether he realizes it at the time or not. God appointed that he will do it, you know. And so God was going to use him. But of course, the Lord already saw his heart, that his heart would be aligned to do what God wanted him to do. Even though it wasn't initially his plan, but at some point God will stir up his spirit and God will begin to do that. So let's take a look at, you know, this story in Ezra. We'll read Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. And he says that keep in mind this story that we read about him already, what God said about him. But let's read Ezra chapter 1, verse 1. Now in the first year of King Cyrus of Persia, you know, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, which the Lord spake concerning Jeremiah. Oh, you say, Jeremiah? Well, I read Isaiah, but there's another one in Jeremiah. Jeremiah 25. You know, there's a place where he begins to speak about, even in fact, that was the same prophecy that Daniel read. That he says, you know, 70 years will be fulfilled, you know, upon the, you know, the nation of Israel and other nations actually that will go into captivity under the hand of Babylon and the Chaldeans. Jeremiah 25, verses 11 and 12. And this whole land shall be a desolation and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years, and so on and so forth. It shall come to pass, when 70 years are accomplished, that will punish the king of Babylon and all that. You know, and there are many other prophecies that Jeremiah gave and other people gave. And so, in order that these prophecies might be fulfilled, which the Lord already spoke, this is the aspect that we want to bring about. I'm not too concerned about these specific prophecies today, because I want to talk about some other more relevant promises that the Lord has given us. But the point I want to bring out today is that in order for certain things, in order for the things that God spoke to come to pass, God began to stir up the spirit of this Cyrus, king of Persia, Ezra 1 and 1. And then he made a proclamation throughout all his kingdom and put it also in writing, saying, thus saith Cyrus, king of Persia, the Lord God of heaven hath given me all the kingdoms of the earth. See, the Lord knew he would acknowledge him. And he had charged me to build him an house at Jerusalem, which is in Judah. Well, the Lord charged him that. You know, who is there among you of all his people? His God be with him, and let him go up to Jerusalem. Hallelujah. Which is in Judah. And build the house of the Lord, his God, and all of that. You know, and then, you know, God began to, you know, stir his spirit up. He's going to start to do certain things that might even you know, change the story of the captivity of God's people and bring restoration to places like Jerusalem that lied in ruins, the temple and so forth, was destroyed. God began to stir up his spirit so that it might be fulfilled. Don't forget that. God did that. You know, so Isaiah spoke about it, Jeremiah, and so on and so forth. But there is something I'm coming back to later on in Jeremiah. But let's keep going. 2 Kings chapter 7. I want to tell a story there, you know, and also bring out this, that it might be fulfilled lesson that we are sharing today. And at the end, I'm going to bring something round to us here. 2 Kings chapter 7. You know, so there had been a tremendous famine in the land and so on and so forth. You know, their enemies, you know, cut off their supplies. Excuse me. Great famine in Samaria and all that. And one day, Elisha, the prophet, said, "Thus saith the Lord, tomorrow about this time shall a measure of fine flour be sold for a shekel and 2 measures of barley for a shekel in the gate of Samaria." And the famine had been so bad that there is no way, naturally speaking, that that could happen. I mean, consider that things, I mean, let's say things are so bad, everything is so, prices are so high. Something that you would normally buy, let's say here in the United States, that you would buy for, say, you know, maybe $25, maybe some grocery, maybe that would cost $25 or $40 or $50 or whatever. And this man stands up and says, "Tomorrow, by this time, you will pay a nickel for that thing." You know, just think of it that way. You know, that's the gravity of what he said. You know, things that were so expensive, everything so scarce, and all of that. And he comes out and gives this, what you might call an outlandish proclamation or prophecy, and say, by this time, you know, tomorrow, things will be so cheap, you won't even, I mean, things will be so cheap, he said. And he just gave, just try to put it in perspective of how so cheap it may be. We have gasoline here, you know, in the United States, some places costing almost $5 a gallon. You can come out and say, by this time tomorrow, gasoline will be sold for less than a nickel everywhere. I mean, that's the magnitude of the kind of prophecy that he gave. And so, naturally, you know, there was this man who was chief of army staff. You know, he was like, "Oh, come on. Even if the Lord will make windows in heaven, I mean, how can this thing be? I mean, well, we see the condition around us. How can this thing turn around so quickly in one day? It's not going to happen." You know, and so the man of God said to him, "Well, it will happen anyway, but you will be the one that will not taste of it." Now, it's a dangerous thing to go up against the word of the Lord, because the word of the Lord will happen anyway. You know, but because it's like, "For what if some did not believe? Shall their unbelief make the word of God of none effect?" Absolutely not. God will always have a remnant. You know, so anyway, in order for this story to play out, and this thing that Elisha said to play out, let's look at an incredible story that actually happened here. There were 4 lepers. I'm just going to tell the story. They were outside the gate, you know, and, of course, lepers were banished in those days. You know, they had to stay out, you know, the city and so on. They had a culture for that and some laws. And so they said to themselves, "Well, you know, we can sit here and die. We can go, we really can't go into the city, but if we dare to go into the city, we're going to die there anyway because the famine is so strong there. You know, but we can also sit here and die. You know, there are 2 things that are known. We sit here, we're going to die. We go back in the city, we're going to die. Those 2 things we know. There is 1 thing that we don't know. It's a bit uncertain. But let's take a chance. Perhaps if we fall into the camp of the Syrians, they might save us alive and they might kill us. If they kill us, we are not going to be any worse than we are now. But maybe they will not kill us. Maybe they'll save us alive. So they decide to take a chance, you know, to the unknown. And they said, well, you know, they rose up in the twilight, the early morning, and they went to the camp of the Syrians, you know, and so forth. You know, the Syrians had, encamped around, you know, Samaria, cut up all their supplies, and so on and so forth. So as they went, in order for the word of the Lord by the mouth of Elisha, in order that our word might be fulfilled, God did something incredible here. As these four lepers went towards the camp of the Syrians, not knowing whether they will be killed or whether they will be saved, I mean, their heart was in their mouth. They're just saying, well, you know, whatever happens, let's just take a chance. In order that the word that the Lord was watching over to be fulfilled from the mouth of Elisha the prophet, here's what the Lord did. The Lord actually magnified the footsteps of four lepers. I mean, who were, I mean, just imagine, what can four lepers do? They couldn't even take care of themselves. You know, they were already self-condemned. They were condemned by people. They themselves were self-condemned and everything. But what could they do? But the Lord magnified their footsteps into the ears of the Syrians. As these four lepers were coming, God made the people on the other side to start hearing thunderous hoofs. There were just four people coming. I mean, their feet could hardly ever make any sound, even on the ground. But God put an illusion upon the camp of the Syrians. And instead of just footsteps of four men that could do almost nothing, they were hearing thunderous hoofs, and it seemed like charging chariots and horses and things like that was what they were hearing. They were hearing the noise of a great host. So they said, wow, the king of Israel must have hired all the kings of the Hittites and all these other places against us and the Egyptians. But let's run. You know, and they ran. You know, they were deluded. God put a delusion upon them. You know, they ran and scrambled and left their tents. They just ran away. I mean, there must have been such a fright in their hearts. I mean, these people are men of war. I mean, why would they run from something they haven't even seen? But the Lord made that happen. You know, and it was all in order that the word that Elisha spoke, that it might be fulfilled. So when they ran away, the lepers came to the tent and they said, well, where's everybody? It's all, you know, everybody's gone, or only their clothes and their, you know, belongings and all their, you know, I mean, precious things remained. They said, wow. And their food and everything. And they saw that they even had gold, silver, and all these things. Wow. Where's everybody? So they went into one camp. They saw some food. They sat down. They ate and drank. And they carried away something and they went and hid it. They came back. They went down that camp. The same thing, like they're looking around. Maybe somebody will come. Nobody came. They decided to do it. Then they thought to myself, well, look, listen. You know, we are not doing well today. I mean, this should be good tidings. Let's go back to the city and tell it to the king, you know, and let people know that what we found here and so on. So they went and told it to the king and said, well, we came to the camp of Syrians and lo, they were all gone. And there is nobody there. And we've carried away and hidden treasure. And there's so much more. Let all the people go and help themselves. My goodness. So when the people heard that, the king said, wow. So everybody started scrambling. There was a stampede, you know, and this same chief of army staff or whoever he was that had scoffed at the word of the Lord, he stood at the gate trying to control the crowd, you know, because there was a big stampede just going up and everybody was just crazy when he heard this news. you know, and the lepers showed them a small sample of the things that they brought, maybe. So in the stampede, this man that was trying to control the ground, they pushed him over. They stampled over him. The crowd was so much in a hurry. They trampled him down, trod upon his chest. He couldn't breathe. He ended up dying. And these people went, carried all kinds of stuff. And, you know, there was so much surplus that people were selling things so cheap. And that word was fulfilled. And the man died. Just like Elisha the prophet said. They say it will happen, but you will see it, but you won't taste of it. Because you did not believe the word of the Lord. And so, just look at that story. Marvelous story. Fascinating story, I should say. But it was all that the word of the Lord from the mouth of Elisha the prophet might be fulfilled. And once the prophet spoke that, the Lord said, I will hasten it to perform it. And he did all those things that we just spoke about in order for that word to come to pass. The good part of the word came to pass. The bad part of the word upon the judgment, the judgment upon the man that didn't believe came to pass as well. And so on and so forth. You know, so it is very important that the Lord, he can do, it is important for us to know that the Lord can do anything, can use anybody, can use circumstances, can use this, can use that. In the life of the children of Israel, that the word of the Lord might come to pass, which he spake to Abraham, you know, more than 400 years before he even had a child. The Lord said to him, know of a surety, you know, that thy seed shall go down to a place where they will be tormented for 400 years, you know, and afterward I'll bring them out with a great hand and I will punish that nation. He didn't even have a child when God was telling him all those things. Well, that the word of the Lord, that word of the Lord might come to pass, a lot of things happened. The story, the way it happened was that, and you know this story, that was that, well, one way or another, you know, Jacob loved Joseph more than the rest of his brothers because he was kind of the son of his old age and he was the son of the woman he liked more. And after the woman died, anyway, well, Rachel, he loved that son even more, bought him a rainbow coat and all that. And the brothers were envious of him. And he had all these dreams that he used to tell, and they became envious of him even more. You know the story. And they planned one day that the father sent them to go and visit him. Him to go and visit them. They planned to kill him. Well, of course, Reuben and Judah and so forth, they, you know, God raised up destiny helpers for Joseph, even among his would-be destiny destroyers. And so God raised up some helpers there. But all the things that happened to Joseph, little did he know that it was that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. How was he going to become king over his brothers? And they will bow down to him. That was not going to happen in his own land. He was almost second to the last born, so he couldn't, there's no way that he was coming up there and rule over everybody. You know, but, you know, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, a number of things started to happen. They hated him, tried to kill him. Somehow God delivered him, but he was sold into slavery and all of that, and on and on and on and on and on. Everybody knows that story, I hope. And everything, worse things started happening to him. Bad alone enough that somebody of 70 years old or younger should be carried away into a foreign land, away from his dad. They told his dad that he had been killed. He got there. Although God gave him favor, God's hand was with him. Bad things started happening to him. You know, and bad things do happen to good people. Why? Well, there may be many reasons. And some of the reasons we'll bring out here. And even Potiphar's wife, who was a seductress, that tried to seduce him and he wouldn't give in, lied against him, got him thrown into prison, and on and on and on and on. And about the same time that he was in prison, again, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. For some reason, Pharaoh got angry with some of his favorite servants, the butler and the baker, and he sent them into prison, the same prison where Joseph was at. And of course, God continued to give Joseph favor. He was in charge of the prisoners. That the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, one day he came upon these people, and he said, "Why look you so sadly today? Normally your countenances are not this sad, but today you are sad." And they told him, each man a dream. And he said, wow. Interpreted the dream. He fell to the baker badly. He fell to the butler goodly. Returned and so on. And he said, well, remember me when you get there. Of course, the man did not remember him for 2 years. And again, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. All along, the devil bringing contradictions against that word. When he was in the pit and his brothers threw him there, you know, Judah or whoever thinking, or somebody, or Reuben, or somebody thinking that, Reuben thinking that he'll come and deliver him later. You know, while he was in the pit, the devil would have been telling him, and even his brothers told him, or said, we'll see what will become of his dreams now. Here come that dream of dreams. The devil would tell him in the pit, we'll see what will become of your dreams now. Your brothers will bow down to you, huh? We'll see how that will happen. In Egypt, and all of that, when he became a slave boy, and even when he was sent into prison, the devil would have told him, ha, dreamer of dreams, huh? You're going to rot away in this prison. Nobody's coming to rescue you. Your father even thinks you're dead. You may be by now, because, you know, and so on. Just tell him all kinds of things. You're discouraging. Contradictions against the word of promise will arise. But nevertheless, God was watching over that word to perform it and to fulfill it. So in order for all of that to be fulfilled, one day God made the butler to remember. And when, you know, Pharaoh had those dreams, and nobody, again, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, God shut the minds of the Chaldeans and the magicians and the astrologers and the soothsayers and the people who normally interpret the Pharaoh's dreams. Shut their minds. They couldn't understand anything, and they couldn't do it. And then this man said, wow, I remember my fault today. There was this young man. And so anyway, they brought Joseph out of prison, and you know the rest of the story. All of that happened to Joseph that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. And all of those calamities, all those evil, each one of those things, you know, actually pushed him closer to the fulfillment of the word of the Lord, closer to his destiny, but he didn't know it. Now, when God showed him those dreams, he dreamt a dream, we're told, but it was God that showed him the dream. You know, God didn't tell him that you're going to go to prison. God didn't tell him all the things that would befall him. And he, you know, he saw himself, you know, brothers bowing down to him, and the brothers' sheaves bowing down to his sheaves and all of that. And so, in his head, he's thinking, well, maybe I'll be greater than my brethren. Well, maybe that's what God was trying to tell him. But God didn't tell him the path that he was going to go through. Now, listen to this, ladies and gentlemen, men and brethren. The Lord does not owe you, you know, any explanation of whatever he tells you. He may, and he may not. Most times he doesn't. He may show you the end game, but he may not tell you what you are going to go through from here to there. You know, where you are now to where you are going. He won't tell you the process. He may just show you that you get there. And so, but you have to trust him all along the way. And Joseph didn't know that he was going to be carried, you know, perhaps hundreds of miles away from his family, going to become a slave boy, and all of those things. He would go to prison, and he would be almost, you know, wasting away there and all that. You know, he didn't know that many, many years, maybe 13 years or more would pass, you know, that he would be away from his family. He didn't know any of that. All he thought was that, well, someday my brothers will bow down to me. But the word of the Lord will not fall to the ground. Hallelujah. There are not enough devils in hell or anywhere else to frustrate God's plans. The purpose of God for your life will stand. Hallelujah. And the word of the Lord for your life will stand, no matter what the enemy tries to do. And the promise of God for us this year is that in this year, you will emerge. And for the word of the Lord, for that word to be fulfilled, there are some things that God will put into motion. Even as Stephen described it in Acts 7 and 17, he said, as the time of promise drew near, that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled, God began to do certain things. He actually took away the Pharaoh that knew Joseph, the Pharaoh that promoted him to be, you know, vice regent over the whole land, and said, you know, you are Joseph and I'm Pharaoh, and there shall not anyone lift a finger in this place except by you. Put his ring upon him, gave him his chariot, gave him his robe, said, only in the throne I'll be greater than you. Everybody bowed the knee to Joseph, including Potiphar that sent him to jail, and the wife that lied against him. All of them bowed the knee to Joseph. You know, but for all of that to be fulfilled, the Pharaoh, and I mean, for the word of the Lord to be fulfilled that God said to Abraham way back then, that your family, your seed will be in a land, and they will punish them for 400 years and all of that. And afterward, I bring them down with a great hand and we, you know, punish that nation and so on. For that to be fulfilled, the Pharaoh that knew Joseph and favored him had to die. And when he died, another Pharaoh rose up that knew not Joseph, and he began to torment the people and say, kill all of them. Don't even let them, you know, multiply and so forth and so on and so on. You know, so, you know, and then he went on to the story of Moses and all of that. So, I mean, God allowing all these things. Now, when Moses came upon the scene, and God said, I've seen the affliction of the people and I want to deliver them. You know, and when God sent Moses back to the place where he fled from, the situation of the children of Israel actually got worse. And sometimes, I said this before, things will get worse before they get better. But it's all that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. You know, at first, the children of Israel were flourishing in Egypt. But, you know, the word of the Lord had to be fulfilled, so the situation had to change. And even when the situation changed from bad to worse, you know, they went along with it. They endured it for a great while. You know, they just took it as, well, the situation is what it is. It is what it is. We'll make the best of it. But then after the torment grew too hard for them, then they began to cry out to the Lord. And the Lord said, well, I saw their affliction. They didn't cry out. But now they've cried out. I've heard their cry. Now I'm set to go and deliver them. But it took all these things to happen in order that the word of the Lord might be fulfilled. And so the promise that God has given to you, let's bring it home now. Sometimes that promise might be fulfilled. God might even make the current situation to get even worse. That's a classic story. In the story of Elijah, the prophet, when he appeared in 1 Kings 17 and through 1 Kings 18, we see all the things he did. And after he said, there will be no rain except by my word. And the Lord sent him to the, you know, river, and I mean the brook. And he said, I've commanded the ravens to feed you there. And he was there, you know, but there was something that the Lord needed to do. You know, brook had water, ravens brought him food. You talk about room service. Yeah, and heavenly room service. But there was a widow woman that the Lord needed to save. The Lord needed to save a widow woman and her son. She might have been praying, I don't know. But in any case, the Lord needed to save that woman. And in order for the Lord to save that woman, that it might be fulfilled, which probably the woman had been praying and said, Lord, you know, my husband, he loved the Lord and he's gone now. I have lost my son and we're about to die. What are we going to do? Perhaps she was been praying. In order for her prayers to be answered, God had to make the brook to be dry over here, way over here. Because now God could have sustained the brook from not drying up. But he didn't. He said to Elijah, the brook is dry. Of course, Elijah saw it. Now get up and go to Zarephath. I have prepared a widow woman there to sustain you. But it was actually a 2-for-1. God was going to do two for one. Elijah didn't need any widow woman to sustain her. The ravens were already bringing him food. Water was already there. God could have kept the brook from drying up. The ravens could continue to have brought him food. And if ravens were not enough, God could have sent something else to bring him food. And God was already showed us that he could do that. But there is a hidden lesson in here. So two for one thing that God was going to achieve. But in order for that to happen, Elijah's brook had to dry up. So when the brook dried up, and Elijah, see, this is how God sets divine appointments, that people who are the operators or participants in the appointment don't even know anything about it, but the Lord set it up. Now, Elijah didn't know anything until God told him. The woman certainly didn't know anything about it, but God was fixing to get two for the price of one. So Elijah goes to this place, sees a woman gathering sticks. He said, well, it's got to be this woman, and so on and so forth. You know the rest of the story. Can you give me some water to drink? And as you're going, can you give me a little cake to eat? Woman says, well, I don't have anything less. As the Lord thy God lives, I have nothing left in the house except a little cup of flour and a little oil, and I'm just baking it, gathering these two sticks, eat it. My son and I, it's our last meal, we will die. We've been crying unto the Lord, but this famine is so sore. This is it. Elijah said, don't worry about it. You know, nobody is dying today. Hallelujah. You go do as you say, but bring me something first. For thus saith the Lord. Glory to God. And all of a sudden, now, not only will the woman sustain Elijah, but the woman's problem is now solved as well. But for that to happen, you know, God had to disrupt Elijah where he was. And God had to make the brook dry up for him and go over here, you know, to solve somebody else's problem. And that person will solve your problem as well. You know, God didn't explain all of it to Elijah. You know, God doesn't owe Elijah or anybody any explanation. But we see the story at the end. When it unfolded, we are able to see it. So our lesson today is this. The things that God has promised for you this year. Hallelujah. Or promised unto you this year. Well, how is God going to do it? Well, let me read something to us here. Now, it may look, sometimes it will look complete opposite of what God promised. In fact, situation will get worse sometimes. When Moses went to the children of Israel and tried to get Pharaoh to set them free, their situation got worse. Pharaoh said, these people are idle. They're idle. That's why they say they want to go and worship the Lord. Make their tasks to be harder. Don't give them straw for bricks anymore, but don't diminish any of the tail of bricks. They will still bring the same, even though you don't give them any materials for it. And the people of Israel said, Moses, I mean, what did we do to you to make our life worse? It was bad enough, but now you made our life even worse. God was fixing to do something to bring them out by a mighty hand. So situation may actually get worse before it gets better sometimes. Hallelujah. But the Lord knows what he is doing. In the book of Isaiah chapter 44, I'm going to read two promises to us here, and then we're going to pray. Isaiah chapter 44, this is how God does these things. He says, beginning from, maybe I'll read from verse 23 or so. You know, he says, sing, O ye heavens, for the Lord hath done it. Shout, ye lower parts of the earth. Break forth into singing, you mountains. Now, did the Lord give you any promise? You can begin to sing and shout for joy. He's already done it. It's not that he's going to do it. It's he's already done it. And you can begin to praise him and shout the victory and trust the Lord for it. O forest and every tree therein. And you can put your name here. Say, the Lord has redeemed Jacob. Put your name there. Whatever the Lord has promised you, you can put it in there. Because the word of the Lord is eternal. It's a living creature. You can put things in there and it works for you. If you can believe it. Thus saith the Lord thy Redeemer, and he that formed thee from the womb. I am the Lord that maketh all things. Now, sometimes God will have to remind the people. And he will give them another reintroduction of himself. I'm the one that stretched forth the heavens alone. I'm the one that spread abroad the earth by myself. I didn't need any help then. Neither do I need any help now to bring to pass the things that I already promised in your life. And how am I going to do it? I am going to frustrate the tokens of the lions. Now, who are the lions? Well, in the case of Joseph, the lions were the would-be destiny destroyers that rose up, you know, among his brethren because they were envious of him and they wanted to kill him and destroy his dreams. They were the lions, the tokens of lions. Now, we'll see how those your dreams will come to pass now. Well, God said, I will frustrate the tokens of the lions. Glory to God. And I will make diviners mad. I will turn wise men backward. Make their knowledge to be foolish. And anybody that thinks they can divine your life, all the peeping spirit, the spirit of divination, the spirit, you know, and say, look, there is no enchantment. Numbers 23 and 23. No enchantment against Israel. No divination can work against Jacob. So all the spirit of divination, all the spirit of enchantment, all the peeping and muttering spirit, and all their tokens of lies, whatever they are using to call forth your name and say this and that. Some of you may say, what is he talking about? Well, people from Africa, they know some of these things. And they dwell in those things. I don't. Because you know, my life is hid in Christ, in God. You know, and none of those things even bother me. They can't even do it. You know. Hallelujah. Now, but the Lord said, I will frustrate their plans. I will make their devices of none effect. Their hands will not be able to perform any of their enterprise. According to Job chapter 5 verse 12. You know, I will turn them backwards. But at the end, he said in verse 26, I will also confirm the word of my servant. Oh, glory to God. And I will. So, in order for the word of his servant to be performed and fulfill the counsel of his messengers, he will have to frustrate the tokens of liars. He will have to turn back the peeping and muttering spirits that say, aha, aha. You know, and they'll say, no. You know, you're going to eat your words. You're going to kiss the dust because I will hasten my word to perform it. According to the verse we read at the beginning, Jeremiah 1 and verse 12. And here's the promise. Here's how to wrap this up. Then I'm going to pray. Ezekiel chapter 12. And I love this. And this is the place where we are going to end it with prayer today. Ezekiel chapter 12. We read from verses 25 to 28. Now there is a place in verse 25 that we are going to replace the rebellious house. I want us to read it together, but let's replace rebellious house with ourselves, right? Because we're not rebellious people, are we? No, we're not. You know, so we are people that hear the word of the Lord. Now, what the people were complaining about was that, well, look, all the promises of God are not coming to pass in our life. God promised us all these things, you know, but, you know, the visions are failing. The effect of the visions are not coming to pass. We don't see these things happening. And God tells us these things from year to year, tells all these things, but nothing happens. This year, the Lord has also told us that we will emerge. Well, 2 months have already passed. I'm not emerging. Doesn't look like I'm emerging or whatever, you know, and all these things that are going on in our minds, you know, here's the word of the Lord concerning all of that. He said, look, the people that thought that the visions are vain, they're flattering divination and so forth, God promised us things that he cannot keep or will not keep. The people that think that, the Lord said this, I am the Lord and I will speak. And the word that I speak shall come to pass. It shall no more be prolonged. For in your days, now he called them rebellious house. And that's the one I said, remove that. Put your name in there. In your days, O ye household of faith. In your days, and I'm going to turn this word around actually. For this year, O ye household of faith, have I spoken the word. And in this year will I also perform it, saith the Lord. Hallelujah. Again, the word of the Lord came unto Ezekiel, saying, Son of man, behold the house of Israel, how they say, the vision is failing. I mean, all these things are for many days, many years. We don't see how it's going to come to pass. I mean, not certainly not this year. You know, I'm not even positioned. I mean, it doesn't look right. I mean, things don't, you know, there's just no way. Just like that man said, even if the Lord opened the windows of heaven, it can't happen this year. Well, think again. But you don't want to be like that, because it will happen. And it is happening for people. Don't be like the one that said, the prophet had to tell him, it will happen, but you won't taste of it. Don't be like that. But here's what the Lord said to them. Say unto them again, thus saith the Lord, there shall none of my words be prolonged anymore. Enough of all the delays and all the things that you think will not come to pass. But the word which I have spoken unto you this year, that you will emerge, shall most certainly be done, saith the Lord God. And when the Lord puts his signature upon it like that, you know, you can take it to the bank of heaven. It's a done deal. So that's our lesson, ladies and gentlemen, this morning. And I'm going to pray over the room, that the Lord will instruct our hearts to know that the Lord has a million ways that he can watch over his word to bring it to pass. So in order that the word of promise for your life as an individual, in order even for the word of promise for the church elect at this time to get us ready, be ready for God, there's some things that God, every word of God must be fulfilled. So in order for the word to be fulfilled, because Jesus said nothing will fall to the ground. Heaven and earth will pass away, but not one word. So if there is a promise that's yet unfulfilled, it must be fulfilled, and there remaineth some people that must enter into that promise. We read that when we studied the book of Hebrews. So, in order that every promise that God has promised, both globally and particularly for you, to be fulfilled this year, you know, trust the Lord that he has a million different ways that he can bring it to pass. As a matter of fact, the Lord just reminded me to tell you this. You know, God can say to his angels, because that's what the Bible says, he gives his angels charge over you. You go down there and make sure that what such and such is believing for comes to pass. You see to it. Hallelujah. And the angel will see to it. The angel of the Lord, they do incredible things to see to the word of the Lord. Because God gives the word, and great are the company that make it happen. Hallelujah. You know, that's in Psalm 68 and verse 11. You know, so God has given the word for you this year. The angel, you know, in order for the word of God to come to pass in your life, the angel of the Lord will begin to set some things in motion. It might be uncomfortable at first, but just relax and trust the Lord. Sometimes, in order that the Lord might prevent you from evil, the angel of the Lord might do something uncomfortable for you. Many people don't know that, but it happens all the time. You are too much in a hurry in a certain morning, and you're about to get into an accident. The angel of the Lord has foreseen, and is going to send his angel, keep you from, but you're not hearing his voice to not go. You're going to go anyway. You know, so the angel of the Lord is going to put blinders on your eyes. Don't put blinders on your eyes. Because the Lord has his angels to watch over you. Put blinders on your eyes. You look everywhere for your car keys and you won't find it. Because he put blinders on your eyes. You know, and you will do everything. You will be so frustrated. You will freak out that you're going to be late. You won't find those keys. No matter what you do. Because he put blinders on your eyes. The angel will do that. We've seen why the angel struck them with blindness. They weary themselves to find the door. They won't do it. The Lord will, you know, the angel can do that for your good. And then after the evil is passed, all of a sudden you see the keys in plain sight. I looked everywhere. And you're like, you know, ministry of angels. They can do all these things in order that the Lord might keep you from an accident that you are heading into. Because you are not hearing the still small voice to not go. And the Lord in his mercy might actually even do that. So there's many ways that God can do great things. Trust in him. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for the room today. Thank you for your word that reminded us that you will watch over and hasten your word to fulfill it. And not one promise, not one thing that you promised us shall fall to the ground. Ladies and gentlemen, according to Joshua chapter 21, verses 44 and 45, Joshua said that there has nothing failed of all the things that the Lord has promised. Not one word of all the things that he has promised has failed. You know, every good thing which the Lord had promised, it had all come to pass. May the Lord grant each of us the faith to believe that. And you can help to hasten the word of God as well by aligning your faith with his promise. And never mind the contradictions to the word of promise. Those things will come up. But see the promised land. Don't worry about the giants on the way. God will put things into action to, in order to bring to pass the promise. The promise in this year 2023, ye shall emerge, saith the Lord. And there are still many months left in this year. I mean, God can do things in the 11th hour, let alone, you know, 10 months that are still left. He can do it. So let's trust the Lord and let's believe that he is working. You know, he's working. He's working. He's working. There are some songs that we used to sing, say, I can see God walking in my favor. I can see my story is changing. You know, your story is changing. See it by the eye of faith. I can see everything turning around. Everything is turning around. Everything is turning around for my good. I can see everything turning around. Everything is turning around. Everything is turning around for my good. Can you see it? I can see it. Things are turning around. Things are shaping up. I can hear the sound of abundance. Can you hear it? Open your ears, you will hear it. Incline your ears, I should say, you will hear it. Can you see it? Open your eyes, you will see it. Hallelujah. It's coming. It's just around that corner. The Lord will watch over his word to bring it to pass. In order that it might be fulfilled, he will create situations that will bring that word to pass. All you got to do is trust his word. It's so sweet to trust in Jesus. Just to take him at his word. Just to rest upon his promise. Just to know, thus saith the Lord. Isn't it sweet? It's so sweet to trust in Jesus, just to take him at his word, just to rest upon his promise, just to say, thus saith the Lord. Jesus, how I trust in you, how I demand my Lord. Jesus, precious Jesus, oh, for the grace to trust in more. The Lord bless everyone this morning. Amen. God bless you. You heard my portion. Now it is your portion, your reaction to the lesson this morning. Ladies and gentlemen, that's our room for this morning. Good morning. and good afternoon. Welcome to the room.